podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello everyone, welcome to this edition of the Anfield Index India podcast. This is your host for today, Srikant, and joining me today are regular guests Aditya Narayan, Neil and Bijon. So let's just get into the podcast right away. Hey guys, how are you doing? Transfer window time, not much to see, lots to hear, lots to read though. So I think since this predominantly we are going to be talking about transfers and all, I think it's apt we go to a big money signing straight up since we have lots to talk about today. So Adi, coming to you, it's been a while since you've been on the pod. Mo Salah, so takeaways from the transfers other than him inspiring FPL team names?
Takeaways from the transfer, I don't know. I mean, as I told you last time, I don't watch too much Serie A, so I genuinely don't know what to expect. But from the little that I've seen of him, he's quick, and that was something that was desperately missing from the squad last season when we missed Mane. So in that respect, it's a brilliant addition to the squad. It gives us depth in attack as well, more options for Klopp, and we'll need that with us playing around 55-60 games at least next year. So as of now, I'm excited because of the little that I've seen of Salah, nothing more. And I was also pretty pleased that we got the deal done without too much of a fuss, if I may say so. Because more than getting players signed, it's getting players signed without a fuss that we can't do, is it?
Indeed. That's something we are going to actually talk about later in the podcast. But Neil, coming to you, have you seen much of Salah? Do you think, what does he provide to us except pace, which Adi has already mentioned? What are the additional strengths he's going to give us? What are the other things you are excited about with respect to this transfer?
See, apart from being quick, I think he's very mobile and he's very hardworking. He has good technique. He always has an eye for a goal. Apart from, you know, being very pacey, his decision making is very good and has matured a lot since his tenure at Chelsea. You know, so yeah, I mean, especially if you look at one of this, I think there was this video going around of his, I think there was a match against Palermo where I think Roma were already 4-0 or 5-0 up, and he lost the ball somewhere in the final third, and then he ran all the way back to defend it and get it clear. All, like, he ran the whole length of the pitch to get it cleared. So I think that's the kind of player Klopp always loves, you know. He's someone that, you know, defenders will struggle against, you know, to keep up with his pace. And I don't think in the game there are too many players quicker than him. So, yes.
Yeah. So, Bijan, just adding on to what Neil is saying. So, do you see him slotting him to the first 11 straight away, let's say for the Watford game? Is he a shoe-in, or do you think they are going to slowly integrate him and we might see him maybe only after game 2 or 3?
I think the integration could be after... I think his integration would depend on what we do with the midfield 3. If we have a fit midfield 3, we can afford to integrate him a little later. Remember, Chan has again not had a full pre-season. So it'll be interesting to see. I think if we have a solid midfield 3 fixed, then we could take a couple of games to integrate him. But he's really top draw. If you remember, I was so skeptical with the Mane signing considering the price that we paid. And then we were convinced on how it's a systemic buy, it'll fit the system. I think this is exactly the same. And it's a fabulous move.
That's good to hear that this time you aren't feeling the same as you did against Mane. So, but let's get into the more, you could say, more moaning or depressing bit of news, depending on which side you lie on. So we have signed Mane. We have obviously got Solanke. The fee is going to come through via tribunal. But Virgil van Dijk been going on for ages now. Now Naby Keita is taking that well-trodden LFC path of transfers, whether it will happen, would it happen, would it not happen. So Salah happened, but you know how Salah happened. We almost, if you believe the Liverpool echo, we bid for Salah like 12 times in 12 days and we always bid 28 million every day. That's how the news came through. But with this Naby Keita move, it's almost looking like player wants to come, club don't want to sell this. So Liverpool are always stuck in this rut, is the general feeling that something never good never happens when it comes to Liverpool and transfers. So Neil, I'm going to come to you first. When you look just at what Liverpool have done in the window, is it too early to worry yet, or do you think Liverpool, since there is so much competition in terms of the Premier League, there are 6 to 7 really good teams competing for the top four, do you think Liverpool actually are lagging behind? What's your take? Let's not look at the other teams, let's look at Liverpool, what they needed and what have they done. What's your take on it?
I think in this moment I wouldn't be too worried. We are, I think, in just mid-July and there is a lot of time left to get deals done. I think it's good that we wrapped up Salah so well, but I think Klopp is really, you know, he really wants those two players, that is Keita and Van Dijk. So I think a lot of work is going on behind the scenes, and it's good that, I mean, there's no news as such coming out, like, you know, like it happens, you know, there's some new development every day. I mean, of course, there's stuff happening, but then, you know, I think there's nothing official from the big journals, that is, you know, at least from our side, there's nothing big coming out. So I think there is a lot of work happening behind the scenes, and I'm sure we have targets set, but I'm just a little concerned about, you know, our left back target. I mean, I don't know if we are buying one, or, I mean, I haven't seen any players except Robertson's name come up, so I'm a little worried about that. But apart from that, I think we are okay so far.
Adi, I'm going to come to you with a small preface. So once Liverpool sealed the top four place, the news amongst the Liverpool journalism base was that Liverpool are ready to break the transfer record multiple times. It was almost funny that we could rename the transfer window to a transfer door, because we were going to make so many big signings. But Mo Salah has come through, but nothing else seemingly happening. Is it time to worry yet, or do you think we'll ultimately get through and this is the new Liverpool way of actually struggling, pinching value and fighting out till the end, and whether we get it or not, we'll know at the end? Or are we just putting all our eggs in the same basket as we have done in the last few windows?
Honestly, whether we get it done in the end or not is not a concern. For me, it's the fact that, you know, we do something that every single club in the world does and still manage to piss other clubs off. That is the biggest concern for me. A manager meeting a player, I think it happens in most big clubs, at least with Chelsea, with United. I definitely think Mourinho, Conte speak to players before they sign them. Somehow Klopp has done that and we've managed to piss them off. There were reports that Leipzig were going to report us to FIFA for tapping up Keita. So I don't know what's happening there. And with the transfer door, as it may be, we probably are still willing to pay that much money, because if reports are to be believed, it's around 130-140 million for Van Dijk and Keita put together. But unfortunately, we seem to be doing things in the reverse order. We agree terms with the players first and then agree a fee. Why? You agree a fee with the club first. And I don't know whether we get Keita or Van Dijk done or not. I think there is a systemic problem with the club. Now, we've seen it from the time when we were supposed to sign Costa, Mkhitaryan, Willian, Konoplyanka. There is a systemic problem with the way this club deals with its transfers. And signing Naby Keita or Virgil Van Dijk at the end of this window is not going to change that systemic flaws that are there in how we deal with our transfers. Whether it's Michael Edwards, whether it's Peter Moore, whether it was Ian, there is something wrong, and it's taken FSG a while and they still haven't figured out what is wrong. So for me, the players who come in are not a concern. I think we'll still get Keita and Van Dijk. I'm optimistic about that, but the way we're going about transfers is a massive concern.
Bijan, coming to extending on what Adi said, we are looking at one, let's assume what is what we are hearing is indeed true and Liverpool are prepared to spunk for 140 million on two players. Liverpool have never spunk 140 million on two players. So this is uncharted territory for us. And it's surprising that we are throwing so much money yet clubs are not prepared to sell players to us. So do you think we should move on to alternative targets or as same thing as I asked Neil, is it too early to start worrying and start moving on?
Okay, yeah. So to Shri, before I address that question about alternatives, I completely agree with what Adi is saying in terms of, you know, there being a systemic problem with how we're dealing with this. We obviously do what every other club does and therefore still mess it up. But there has to be a reason why I guess we've sort of not talked about, the leaks, etc., etc. But in terms of, you know, the alternatives, I refuse to believe that we haven't identified any alternatives. Remember last year, we didn't get Götze, we got Mane instead. We didn't get Zielinski or Dahoud and we got Gini. So, you know, if even those two were your first choices at the time, we'd be fairly happy with the result of it. So I refuse to believe that there are no alternatives that have been identified. But I do believe that, you know, the leaks or whatever information we're giving out to the media is reduced in terms of any kind of alternatives, because I presume that both Virgil and Naby are probably in play. Do we have alternatives? I'd like to think so. But yeah, to address what Neil also said there, I'm a little worried that we haven't closed out the left back because to be fair, I know Adi might get offended, but I don't really like the fact that his favorite footballer, Milner, could potentially start a left back again.
Interesting. I think, Bijan, I'm going to stick with you on the second part of the question, which I actually intended to ask. Now, when you compare Liverpool's transfers to other transfers, does your worry increase, decrease, or you don't care about what other clubs do?
No, I don't. I mean, I'd like to. The thing that makes me a little, or the thing that gets me a little annoyed, is the fact that we can't close out transfers as quickly as a lot of others do. So to give you an example, look at what Bayern Munich just pulled off, right? Bayern Munich and Juventus just pulled off two incredible signings, long-term loans with the obligation to buy, but no one heard anything about it. There were very little murmurs, nothing, you know, none of the regular journalists talking about anything. So they pulled it off faster. You look at what Chelsea have been doing for years in terms of the way they're getting players in and out. You know, they've sold a bunch of players to China. They sell so many players to, I mean, getting 50 million for Luis is daylight robbery. So I'd like to, I mean, that's what makes me jealous in terms of how they get the job done. But if you're looking at, if the question is more, am I looking at a couple of transfers here and there and then getting worked up? No, because City have made two, Silva, Edison, they needed those two players fair. Chelsea have made none, maybe Bakayoko. Lacazette is one for Arsenal.
Rudiger.
Rudiger. But yeah, so Rudiger and potentially Bakayoko. And then you've got United with Lukaku. So everyone is struggling to get deals done. I'm happy we've got Salah on board. But again, I think a lot of us would be happier if we dealt with the centre-back issue first and then got Salah.
Those are some fair points, Bijan, but you see, you talked about Chelsea, but Chelsea have really struggled this window. Bakayoko should have signed 3 weeks ago for more than one reason, his injury. For some reason, they have lost out on Lukaku. United wanted to sign Matic, but they have not been able to, because obviously now more the reason.
Which is why it's not making me, I'm not getting worked up about, because everyone is struggling, right? In the Premier League, everyone is struggling. My only issue in terms of the overall transfer was more how a lot of the other clubs seem to get, not even a lot of the other clubs, I'm just looking at what Chelsea have been able to get in terms of a selling side is what I'm a little more jealous of, but they've had an incredible squad for years. So I'm not.
I think they have some 50 players on loan or something like that.
That's also true. So I'm not getting worked up about individual signings here and there, because you know they're addressing issues. They're obviously finding it an issue to address them, and it's becoming a problem. So we're all in the same boat. And the Premier League is not. I mean, the pricing in the Premier League is not making it easier.
Going to come to you. It's quite clear that. There is a clear cartel against the Premier League Bijan mentioned how easy Bayern got deals done, how easily UEFA got deals done. But obviously, it didn't involve a Premier League club. Once you have a Premier League club coming in, the whole scenario absolutely changes. And that's what has been totally pissing me off. People are like, oh, we signed for him at 20 million. Why are we chasing someone for 60 million? The point is they got for 20 million because there was no Premier League club involved. If someone like us comes in, obviously the price doubles. So, as Bijan said, every club has been struggling. Arsenal have made Lacazette. They've got a free signing in Kolasinac. Chelsea have got Rudiger now. United have got Lindelof and Lukaku now. Spurs, the first transfer news we have got is actually this evening that Walker is leaving. Till date, we have not heard who they are even going to sign. So, no news emanating from Spurs. Except Everton. Everton have just gone into signing. It's almost like they have it's almost been communicated as though this is the last season you will ever play football. And obviously, they are cashing on the Lukaku money. It's something like what we did with Suarez money. So, it's almost a trend in Premier League now that teams are struggling. So, all the more reason that Liverpool should be patient. What's your opinion?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. I mean, see, it's a long window and we've seen a lot of deals happen late in the August, you know, like last 10 days, 15 days, you know, some teams like what Everton have done, they've bought like a lot of players early and then maybe they're just one or two signings away from getting their team ready. But some of the teams get, you know, transfers done a lot late because they're still identifying who to get. And, you know, it's always a difficult task getting signings done. And, you know, like you mentioned how, you know, all the other clubs from around Europe have formed a cartel and, you know, just, you know, they're not getting bullied. They're like, you know, whatever money you pay, we're not going to sell players. Like how, you know, like what's happening with Keita, you know, 80 million, 70 million is like a hell lot of money for any player. So, I mean, and a club like Red Bull Leeds, I don't know how to pronounce that, Leeds Pick.
Leipzig. You know,
Leipzig, yeah. Thank you. So, yeah. They are not, I mean, they're like, I mean, until like last season, I mean, they weren't a big team. I mean, a lot of people didn't even know about them. So even teams like them aren't getting bullied over by Premier League clubs. So I think it's just, you have to wait and, you know, just see when are they going to break and, you know, when was the tipping point in the end and just, yeah.
Are they coming to Neil nicely put it succinctly, you could say, as tipping point. Now, Klopp has always preferred that he has the players early in so that he gets a pre-season. Now, it's a fine balance about getting players in. Everton have literally thrown money to ensure they get the players in first. Like some crazy money, but we'll come to the crazy money bit next. But Klopp yesterday post the Tranmere Rovers game came and said that he's not nervous. He's prepared to play the waiting game. So, is it something Klopp also has accepted that signings are going to come later on in the window and he might not have pre-season? Obviously, how does that change the dynamics of the team he's going to put forth in the first few games? Let's also not forget we have a qualifier straight up, even before the first league game. So, how do you think that changes the dynamics? Even if we get new signings, let's say we get Van Dijk only in mid-August. Obviously, that takes out 3-4 games and then he's not going to come straight in and play. So, we are maybe looking at Van Dijk not being there for the whole of August. So how does this change the dynamics going forward in terms of how the team is going to line up?
I don't know. I mean, he's always been very vocal, as you said, about wanting the players in very early so that they can adapt to his intensity, his style, all of that. But again, you're not going to have it your way every time. I wouldn't be concerned with the players of the quality of Van Dijk and Keita that I think. Especially Van Dijk, I think he should be able to settle in very quickly. So, even if we sign him, say, first week of August, I think he should be good to go to play against Watford. You would ideally want him to play one of the later preseason friendlies, possibly the Bilbao game. But I think the quality of players we're looking at, considering that, I don't think it'll be as big an issue to adapt to intensity as it will be to adapt to tactics. Because, look, if you're not signing a new left-back, I love the man, but he's not a left-back. If you're not signing a new left-back, Van Dijk is probably going to be that left-sided centre-back and he's going to have to do a lot of work. So it'll be more about adapting to those kinds of things than adapting to intensity or the amount of running for Van Dijk, or for, definitely not for Van Dijk. I mean, centre backs don't run as much. But for Keita, I think Keita, with the athlete that he is and that he's shown in the season in Leipzig, I think for him, for Keita, the bigger problem or the bigger concern would probably be getting used to a new club, new surroundings, new country, and all of that. But I think Klopp's intensity won't be as big an issue as it has been for some other players, and or as Klopp has liked it to be for players to come in very early in the transfer window. I don't think that that's as big an issue if the players have the quality that they're touted to be on.
Okay, we have talked about a lot about Liverpool specific transfers, but let's just look at the silly money Premier League clubs are putting out. So obviously we know it's all about the TV money. TV money is just going to come in. Huddersfield just went and broke their transfer record like twice in a space of the week. They made a couple of forward signings. Then they also signed Tom Ince. Lots of clubs have made signings. Brighton have made a couple of signings now. Newcastle, obviously they're... We have already started hearing murmurings that Rafa is unhappy. They made only a couple of signings, in fact. So there are signings happening across the board. Some, but what is common is the amount of transfer fees English clubs are paying. Do you think now it's almost come to a state that we should stop looking at the transfer fee? Because if we start looking at the transfer fee, my personal opinion is there's not even one deal where you could say there is value. David Klaassen, I think, imagine Dutch clubs making 20 million plus. It's very rare. Suarez was one, but otherwise it's, you could literally count with your fingers where they have made, where they have sold a player outside Eredivisie for 20 million. So is it coming to you, Bijan? I think this might be a topic which would, do you think we should stop looking at transfer fee, stop thinking about value, just if you need a player, pay the money and get him? Is that what we are looking? It's almost like how the US sports happen. They don't have a concept of transfer fee. It's just trading like that. Should we just forget the transfer fee? Or do you still believe there is value to be had? Because we have not seen that at all in this window.
No, but Shri, I mean, so I'm, you know how against I am paying large fees, you know, large fees any which way, because there's so much pressure on the player after that as well. And none of these media outlets make it any easier. But now it's just becoming a function of revenue. I saw an interesting tweet from someone yesterday or day before where they spoke about Rooney's transfer fee as a percentage of the club's revenue. And therefore, it was about 15-odd%. So when Rooney was signed from Everton, it was 15% of United's total revenue. And Lukaku right now is 15% of United's total revenue. So if you're looking at comparisons, as long as it's a function of revenue, you should be okay. And as long as you can make back revenue in whatever capacity, then these fees tend to make less of a difference, at least within the Premier League. Obviously,
but
you will always find value outside of it. Because of what's available. But then again, it inflates the market more.
One thing you need to also consider, Bijan, is that United's revenue is so high that irrespective of how much ever they splurge, one is the fees part, one other is the wages part. Their wages to turnover ratio always gets managed because their turnover is so huge.
Yeah.
Whatever they keep adding on wages, it's still, I think United would be still at a respectable 50 or 52%, I would believe. I obviously don't have the numbers, while Liverpool, I think, are around 65%. So
It's just an example I'm using, but as long as it's a function of revenue, like, for example, look at it this way. If we get, I completely agree that at irrespective of how we sign both of these, Naby and Virgil, paying 70 million for that quality when it's not necessarily the elite bracket is bonkers. But now with the money that's just available, sometimes you just got to throw it to get your player. It's unfortunately just like that. Whether or not we like it, it's just become what it is. I mean, if we can find a Mo Salah at 35 million, you know, 35 million pounds or whatever it is, that would certainly consider value. Look at what, I mean, Swansea is a small club, have the ability to say no to a 40 million price for Gylfi Sigurdsson. For 40 million. We've got Mohamed Salah, who's played Champions League football for 2 years at 35. So you will always find value outside of the Premier League. But
Everton signed Yannick Bolasie for 35 million last year.
Same price than what we paid for him the year before.
Yeah, so I'm just saying there is no concept of value at all.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just saying there is value outside of the league with what is available. right? And within the league, there's just no value. So if you're looking at someone who you think can add value to your club, if you can afford the fees, the logic would technically be, you know, get the best bargain. If not, then pay the price that you need. That's the only way you can justify any of this. Because let's be honest, if you were to name five, maybe seven centre backs in the world today that you would want at your club, I'm not sure Van Dijk makes that list of 5-7. Right?
But you also need to consider which centre back would want to come to your club.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No, I'm just saying that even if you had to prize any of them away, you're not going to have to pay 70 million. It's just a ridiculous number, but because it's available, because the league you're in, you pay it, you get it, you move on. And that's how I guess you're going to have to make these things. It's an unfortunate way to look at it, but within the league, if you have to make these kind of purchases, that's what it's become.
Indeed. Adi, I'm going to come to you. You must have also heard this, Adi, because we are on lots of common groups. When Milan made a signing after signing Ricardo Rodriguez, 15 million, Matteo Musacchio for 20, 22 million, people kept on asking, why can't we buy players at that price? Why are we buying at 70 million? But in my opinion, the problem is if you were in for Ricardo Rodriguez, you can't get him at 15 million. And therein lies the basic problem. There are so many factors affecting. It's just that if a Premier League club comes in, it's Klopp in fact said in one of the interviews, they almost add 10 million when an English club comes in. And we are talking a couple of years before. Now it's just gone out of bounds. There is no player you can literally sign for less than, say, 20 million. The only signing I can recollect is actually Jay Rodriguez. I think West Brom have got him for 12 million. I think that must be because of his injury record and contract. Otherwise, yesterday, Arnautovic put in a transfer request. West Ham have bid 20 million, now rejected. And as Bijan said, Gylfi Sigurdsson 40 million bid rejected. So, Adi, it's quite clear how transfers happen at English clubs is on a different planet, you could say. So, should we stop bothering about fees, just pay the money and get your player?
I would think so, because even for other clubs, I think for clubs outside England, when they see an English club want their player, as Klopp said, it adds 10 million. Okay, just imagine that it was United instead of Bayern in for James Rodriguez. Would United have got James for on a two-year loan, paying around 10 million euros for the 2 years? No chance. There is no way Real would have accepted to send James to United for 2 years for 10 million pounds. But they've sent him to Bayern. And it's the same thing everywhere. And I think a lot of what I wanted to say, Bijan has already said, that clubs are adding huge amounts of money to the players' valuation when it comes to the Premier League. And that's how it is. Considering that Sunderland, who finished bottom of the league, earned more money last year than Bayern Munich, who won the league in Germany, finished in a Champions League quarter-final. You really cannot question the judgment of those other clubs. When you have the money, you pay the money. Is what they must be thinking. Having said that, I mean we can see that with Liverpool, with Leipzig. And maybe Leipzig also have the perk that they really don't need to sell him for the money because of the fact that they have the backing of Red Bull. But even then, can you imagine a player who's had one season in a big European league? It was a terrific season, but 70 million pounds. We've paid half of that for our most expensive player to date. And we were paying 70 million pounds for someone who's had one outstanding season in Europe. And it's the same thing with Virgil van Dijk. He's had a few good years, but it's nothing elite. I read reports today that Juventus will consider selling Bonucci at 45 million euros. 45 million euros and van Dijk for 70 million pounds. Bonucci is clearly the better defender. But the person who wants to buy Van Dijk is British, and the person who's selling Van Dijk is British. So, English, actually, not even British, English. So, naturally, at least 10-15 million pounds get added. And it is the sad truth. But as Bijan said, I mean, when you can get a Mohamed Salah for £35 million, why not look outside? But the flip side to that is, when you look outside, clubs might say, you're from England, so pay us £20 million more.
You mentioned about the point that Keita has had, you could say, one outstanding season, 70 million. But we are facing the same issue with, when you look at Monaco. They've had one outstanding season, the team as a whole. And we are talking 100 million valuation. So it's not only with Leipzig, it's happened with Monaco. Teams have had a breakthrough season. Every Bakayoko is at 50 million now. We're talking huge sums of money. No. Neil, coming to you, do you want to add anything?
Just adding to that. It's the same thing. Look, who is buying Bakayoko? Chelsea or United? Who is buying Benjamin Mendy? Man City. Who is buying Lamar? Arsenal are being linked with him. It's all because they're selling to English clubs that maybe Mbappe, because of the potential he has, because of how young he is, they can demand from anyone, and because he could be, you know, the guy who their team is built upon. So they probably have the right to demand as much as they do. But for the others, look, the clubs that are in to buy those players are still English, and you can demand money off them. You can loot money off them.
That's what I said. I agree. What I was coming to say is, just one breakthrough season doesn't matter at all. It's an English club. If you have had even just 3 good months, you can make money.
Yeah, as I said, I was just using Keita as an example because it was Liverpool related. Okay.
Yeah. Neil, I'm going to come to you on this point. So, what's your take on this? Do you even care about transfer fees now?
Yeah, I think after a point, I think it is just doesn't make sense, because as someone pointed out earlier, that even a club, a relegated club like Sunderland, is making about 93 million from TV money and sponsorship deals, and a club like Chelsea is making 150 million. So all this money pumping in, I think I don't know, the bubble doesn't seem to burst, I think. And I think after a point, transfer fee shouldn't matter. Because I think English clubs are always will have to pay a premium for any footballer. I think that's what it has come to, because of the state and the money that is coming in. I think it's just gonna be existing. So yep, I think we will have to pay a premium for all players. But of course, apart from that, other things also matter, like age, contracts. You know, how long is the contract and stuff like that also matters, because I think, like someone pointed out, Bonucci is like only 45 million, 50 million euros. But why Van Dijk is like so expensive? Because I think Bonucci is almost 30 years old now. And I think his value will only be on decline. So, yeah, I think.
Interesting. The age point is...
Yeah. Sorry, if I may, while the age thing is a factor also, it's for Bonucci's case at least, is definitely, if you had to put an English club in, that's not the fee you're buying at. That's a pretty fair assumption to make. The other thing I just think you'd want to look at is,
I think there's also the obligation to sell. If clubs don't have any obligation to sell, then they will
absolutely ask
for a premium.
That's exactly, yeah. That, you stole the words out of my mouth. None of the smaller clubs, or actually none of the Premier League clubs, because of the money that they are making, are going to be, they don't need to sell. They don't need to accept the fact that they are a smaller club and therefore have to sell. So that's why you have clubs like Swansea rejecting 40 million. Now, nowhere on earth would you reject 40 million for a player that is upwards of 26, because that's probably a couple of great years. And with that 40 million, you can build your own squad. But no one wants to sell, because they just surely don't have to. Which is why we're probably even holding out for Coutinho at this stage. I mean, not that I'm saying that that's on, but it gives us the power purely because of the amount of money that we can demand, unless the player makes the move. If the player starts throwing a fit about wanting to move, which is what we're honestly hoping for with both Van Dijk and Keita, to be honest, you know, but it's just not going to happen because there's no obligation to sell.
But that's a valid point, Bijan. But there's also an alternate argument that Swansea don't want to sell because ultimately they need to go back to market and they feel they will not get value for that 40 million in the market.
Absolutely.
People will again oversell.
Completely agree. Isn't it the same thing as, I think that, I'm not sure whether Klopp actually said this or just a rumor about, or maybe it was just the echo talking shit, but it was just about how Klopp not wanting to sell Sturridge is because he won't be able to get a replacement at that level for the price you'll end up selling him. So it's a double-edged sword, right? You don't want to sell because you don't have to, or you don't want to sell because that money that you get, you can't technically use to buy a similar level. So it just makes no sense, and therefore if you have the money, you pay it, move on, forget about it.
Agree. Though I would put it down to echo talking shit. That's what they have been doing for the last few days. But we'll come to that later. So I think we have gone into enough depression. I think there are a couple of small bits we will talk about. So this is an idea given by one of our panel members indeed. So I'm going to go to him first. Adi, dream signing for this window except Van Dijk and Naby Keita.
Dream signing, any left back whose name is not James Milner.
Okay.
Would you take
Robertson? Would you be unhappy with Robertson?
No, I wouldn't be.
Okay.
And I think I this might sound weird, but I think Mamadou Sakho. I think he's still a very good centre back, as he showed with Crystal Palace. And look, you're allowed to dream, Bijan. You're allowed to dream.
Don't. We're all of us are stuck in the same loop. We need to get over it. Sakho kidnapped someone from Klopp's family. It is not happening. He's not coming back. It's just, we need to move on.
Yeah, so as I said, dream signing would probably be a left back whose name is not James Milner. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Neil, coming to you.
I think with how the Van Dijk saga has gone and how everything, there was a lot of drama last month, so I hope that happens. I think that would be a dream signing. I know it's cliched and, you know, everyone wants it to happen. But yeah, I think since how we've struggled in the defense over the last few years, I really want a good, strong center back in our team. I just want the defense to be solid.
Obviously, we said except Van Dijk and Keita. So
you said, sorry, I missed that. I missed out on that, sorry. Okay, then, oh wow. And again, I think I'd go with Adi, and you know, just probably a good left back would be ideal. You know, I don't have names because I don't think there are a lot of very, very good left backs available in the market right now. But yeah, I think a good, decent, even Robertson at this stage, because we aren't linked to anyone, I think Robertson would be a satisfactory, you know, signing. Not a dream signing, but let's say a satisfactory signing.
Bijan, coming to you, are you of the Robertson track, or do you feel, my personal opinion, people are really underrating Robertson, but we'll leave to that.
I'd be pretty happy if we got Robertson. I think he's a solid defender. I think he could potentially get better. And also, I think we're coming from a place where we really don't want to see Milner struggling on that side anymore. So it's I'd be really happy with Robertson. But if you're saying dream signing, it'll probably, none of these will ever happen. But if I had to pick a left back, I'd say Luke Shaw. And over and above that, probably Morata. And the worst would, I mean, the wildest would probably be Donnarumma, just because now he has a release clause. And since we're spending 140 million, right, Sri? So what's another 50?
Yeah, that's what I said. Transfer fees are literally irrelevant. There's no point even mentioning a number. It shouldn't matter. For me, if given a choice, I actually wanted a club like Southampton outside England. Maybe we should establish another club like Southampton outside England. I actually had a club in mind. Coincidentally, they also start with S. I had Schalke in mind. Before the window started, I had three players in mind. Obviously, one has gone and signed for Arsenal in Kolasinac. My dream signing, I've always said, if Van Dijk wasn't possible, is Benedict Havdes, the captain. Straightforward, comes in and becomes our captain. There's no debate. Proper centre back, can play left back. And my third signing, obviously.
I mean, even post the World Cup, when he hasn't been as good as he was pre.
Yeah. But still, he would easily slot in. He's that good. Obviously, everybody has it.
Also, he'd easily slot in because look at our centre-back options, man. Come on.
And he's almost... And Liverpool, you know, of anything, Liverpool love versatility. If a player can play 12 different positions, we would be the first one in the queue. Yeah. So, obviously, he gives an option. And my third signing, obviously, since I've said Southampton equal Schalke, no Nabikedda, Leon Goretzka. So those are the names. I love Leon Goretzka. Jonathan Gaze and Goretzka, that partnership was something I watched for like literally a couple of years. But last topic, this is obviously not on the agenda. I brought it up.
The other one, then that'd be a really interesting alternative to Nabi would be Kovacic, if it ever happened. I think Kovacic would never be signing.
And I think one left back that there's not been too many links, but I really like the little I saw of him was Kieran Tierney from Celtic. I don't know if Brendan's going to sell to us, but I think it'd be a very interesting option. He looked really good in the few games that I saw him play last season in the Champions League. Obviously, the Scottish League is they murdered the league last season, so you can't really judge. But in the Champions League, the few games that he played, I was impressed.
I don't see any reason why they wouldn't sell. I think we have to show some character and bid some bid money. Some 30 million, showing some good character, I think we'll get him. I think, but Tierney and Dalbert are two names I've been watching in terms of left back. So obviously, it looks like we aren't going to. But I'm very happy if it indeed ends up with Robertson. The last bit of topic, I've just made it up on the go. Your best moment in this transfer window. Obviously, there is not much happened, but your best moment, anything. It need not be Liverpool specific. It can be anything. Any best off-season moment you have had. Bijan, I'm going to come to you on this.
Okay, I've just seen this on Twitter, but my favorite moment of the transfer window has to be the new Southampton video for announcing a contract extension. You guys have to watch it. They've won the...
Whose contract extension is this?
Stuart Taylor. They've given him a contract extension. Okay? And they've put up a video. They have won the internet. It is the best video that exists. I mean, obviously, I love the Salah video because it was nice and sweet and whatever. It's nice. But they have won the internet. You guys have to check this out.
I love that Roma video.
Roma one was the best.
That's all. Those are all creative things, right? The Roma one was great. Ours was good. It was solid stuff. Even the announcement with.
I think the funniest one was Stoke City's.
Yeah, but this one you guys just have to watch. They have just spoofed everyone. It's amazing. Just check it out.
Okay,
is it on the Twitter handle? Like the
official? Yeah. It's the official Twitter handle.
I'm going to check it out now.
Okay, Neil, just hold on for a minute before you check it because I'm coming to you on this. Your best moment of the
transfer. I think for me would be the Roma announcing the player. I think that was the most creative one so far.
Absolutely. That was class.
Yeah, that was just brilliant. I think it was done by Paul Rogers. I think he used to handle the creative and the media for LFC.
Is it? It was done by Paul Rogers, is it?
Yeah. I think he handles the creative and media online, you know, social media for Roma now. So I think he's behind this, I guess.
So last stuff. Adi, your shout.
My shout is our new African football expert at Anfield.
Well, you stole my answer. Where the simple person called Gags becomes an African expert by the name of Hans Ernest Adolfo without a single Google search entry.
How can, like, no, the firm BL won the internet. I don't care what video Southampton have put up. The firm BL hired Gags Tandon as their African football expert and named him something else.
I'm quite sure they hired him because they heard him on a pod talk about Naby Keita after he watched him on Y-Scout. I'm quite sure that's how this has originated. And Gags insists it's not him. That is the problem.
And I actually saw people posting pictures to Gags of other people who look like him. Gags has a lot of doppelgangers.
Have you seen the Gags Arab one? That's hilarious.
Yeah, that one.
But I couldn't find this name on the internet at all. Hans Ernest, for all the expertise he seemingly possesses, there's not even a single entry. More the reason this has to be Gags, right?
Has to be.
I mean, Neil came up with this.
But in Gags' defense, I think he said it this morning that he'll never be as glum as the guy in the picture was. So that's a fair defense, fair call.
To be fair, Gags supports Liverpool. He has no defense.
He's not any
I think okay, let's see we'll get to know whether he listened to it or not. We don't need to prompt him at all. So we'll get to know on that. But before we go, are there anything happening at your end? Any articles coming up during the off season?
I don't know. I mean, once the season starts, I'll probably be back on previews. But as of now, there's not much. I'm still settling into a new place, new job, so there's not much going on.
Okay, Bijan, I know you are. We both of us are doing the pods on deuce bags with the Wimbledon. So obviously, that is something we are going to do maybe this weekend.
Yeah, that should be perfect. Check it out, Neil, guys. It's called Deuce Bag. It is Sri Shankar and me talking about all things tennis. Should be fun.
Literally all things tennis. You can take that. Though I'm quite unhappy that one, Kalen took over hosting the global pod and then he talked about tennis on that pod. So Bijan, you should maybe listen to the latest global pod. He's literally hijacked both my pods in a single pod.
Kalen McCallum.
Neil, anything happening on the LFC, Mumbai LFC India front? Anything happening from that side?
It's an off season now, just like everyone at the club. So a couple of months we get off. So I'm just enjoying the time off and, you know, concentrating on work. I was actually looking forward to go to Hong Kong to watch the guys at the pre-season, but due to work commitments, it couldn't happen. So I'm a little gutted about that. But yeah, I think I'm enjoying the time off. I'm looking forward to August though and start, you know, watching the games again with all the guys at LFC Mumbai. So yeah.
Indeed. From my side, shout out to Trev Downey, who's come out with his first Anfield, the AI main pod. So shout out to him. The shout out to Kalen, as I said, he hijacked both my pods on a single pod on the global pod about how to survive off season, belting shows on UP consecutively and on Gags London show. Gags literally has a show every day now. Is that free, it looks like, and also hijacking the Wimbledon launch into his own house. So shout out to Gags as well. And thanks to Nina, as always, for recording this. We'll catch you soon next time, hopefully with Darshini in the hosting chair again. Till then, goodbye.
Network.